Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today, Blake and I dive into a question that was on Facebook and also some Reddit. And the question is this. It's basically around the DIYers. And the question is, how do I actually start selling the pedals that I've built? How do I create a business selling pedals? So we dive into that and hope to clarify this to all you DIYers who keep asking me this question. And let's jump in it right now.
Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that'd be
Hi.
Me.
Hi. We haven't been talking for the last 25 minutes already, have
we? No, we haven't. No. And no. So just a little precursor here. I've slept very little over the past 48 hours. So if I say something,
one of those.
If I say something that is completely makes no sense at all, just try to understand what I'm actually attempting to say, but it's just not coming out.
And I'll do my best to translate any right. Yeah, any of these womplerisms for the people. I'll do my best.
It's kind of like pizza with pepperoni. I'm hungry. What?
So you want a calzone? Well, I don't know. We should also probably pre-warn people for anybody who just wants to talk about tone. We may get into that, but this is, we've been getting some questions more slanted in the businessy department lately, and we haven't gone full-blown on that in a while, I don't think. Maybe we have, and I'm just forgetting, but.
Well, this is a little different, because this is derived from a direct question
yes.
on a Facebook group and it was pointed to me and Robert Keeley, and the question was, question for the guys who are well established and also some of the guys who started off as DIYers like Robert and Brian. How do you guys get the word out on your pedals? YouTube? Instagram? Twitter? Those things can only get you so far. And when everyone and their uncle's doing the same thing, how do you distinguish your product from all the other noise that's out there? So I decipher that as in, I want to start my own pedal business. How do I do this?
Yeah, or, you know, yeah, like you said, how do you get the message out amongst everybody else's message?
Right.
You know, which is kind of an interesting thought, because there's a lot of noise out there. So how do you cut through?
Well, it needs to be said first and up front that there is a gigantic difference between making pedals, building pedals, and selling pedals. Two radically totally different things. It's very fun to build pedals. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes it's fun selling pedals. At the end of the day, it's still a business. Like, I look at things completely different than more of a product centered thing. So I kind of look at our business way more like a media company, and we just happen to sell pedals. So, but that doesn't really help the guy that's starting out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say...
Let's back up just a little bit. As much as that's true today for your company, and that's your kind of philosophy you've developed through being around for a while, the product has to be good. Otherwise, all of your efforts are kind of a waste of time, especially in this market where there's so many good products out there.
Yes.
So yeah. I mean, got to be good.
Right. I guess that should be the other caveat. If you're putting out crap, then don't expect a miracle. You know.
Yes. So, just that's one thing. So, we're just going to assume that you have a solid product already.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a huge product line, but you've got a really solid first thing. Whatever that is. Doesn't matter.
You might even say I see that JHS is making 9 tube screamers in one, I'm going to make 10 tube screamers in one, you know?
Right.
That's one method you could go about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just make sure your thing is cool. That's the first thing. So, sorry, I interrupted.
No,
carry
no,
on.
No, you're fine. So the first thing first thing you need to realize and understand is that if you're going to be building pedals, you're going to be building a bunch of the same pedal over and over and over. And a lot of people are trying to figure out, how do I get people to buy, like, how do I get people to even know I exist? You know what I mean? And reading through here, there's a few people that say, well, just put it on Reverb, just put it on eBay, just put it on Craigslist or whatever. You know, just sell it on one of the many Facebook or Instagram groups or pages, you know? You can, but everybody, like, there's so many people doing that. How do you break out of that noise, you know? So I think from that, there's got to be a good story. And I don't mean like a lie. That's not what I mean at all. I mean, okay, so let's try to think of someone that's completely... Okay, so let's start with Earthquaker. I was just looking through their Reddit that they did on DIY Pedals Reddit. And the thing about Earthquaker, they're really good at marketing to... in a way that's authentic to them. So, you know, you can tell it's fun there. You can tell it's fun working there. You can tell it's fun being around those guys. You can tell that they're having fun. You can tell that they love what they do. And that shows. And that's kind of what they're marketing. You know what I mean? They're kind of marketing that sort of lifestyle. Not that it's a lifestyle. It's a movement almost, you know?
And yeah, in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of Pedals overall is a movement, like just a cultural movement.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
And I think all of us companies, we kind of have our own little identities that we're carrying through this movement. And people that identify with us like our stuff. And people that don't like someone else, you know? And there's some crossover too. So it's not that usually you don't have one guy that just buys one brand's worth of pedals, you know? And I know there is some, but for the most part, when you look at all the different pedal board threads, there's guys with, you know, all different brands on there, from $20 boxes, you know, that you've never heard of, to, you know, big Strymans or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's there's brand loyalty, obviously. You've experienced that a lot in your business, but like, for the most part, very few people have one brand on their board.
Right.
And if they do, they probably have another board. So it's
or at least pedals off to the side that they can switch out. I mean, I don't know. I think if you're trying to get it off the ground, the first thing you need to do is kind of figure out who you are. And I know that's kind of a loaded phrase. In other words,
right.
If you love overdrive and distortion, then you should jump all in and bring value to people about overdrive and distortion. Now, what that means is, like, if you have a YouTube channel, don't make the classic stupid mistake and post video after video of you demoing your own pedal or someone else demoing your pedal. Because really, at the end of the day, like, you do need some demos, but most people aren't really coming to YouTube to watch. Well, for the biggest part, the people that spend a lot of time on YouTube are not coming to YouTube to watch a bunch of commercials. They want to be entertained. They do want information, but it's got to be put forth in a way that brings value to them in some way. So, you know, for me, that means I talk about, I get questions, and then I answer those questions, and I do videos on those questions. And I try to teach people things that they ask me. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I dissected a rat circuit. And that was based on several people asking me, for a complete walkthrough of the rat. You know, what makes it sound like the rat? You know, what's the difference between the old rats and the new rats? So I just broke that down. Now, to some other companies, they'll look at that and they'll think, why on earth would he not? Why would on earth would he talk about some other company's pedals? How is that benefit? How is that benefiting Wampler at all? And the answer is because I'm not worried about selling a product right now to them. I'm really just wanting to build a relationship with that person, you know, so we can talk and have communication and become friends. And then maybe later, if they want to buy a pedal, then cool. But if not, then at least I'm completely all in on give a person more than what they expect, and don't expect anything in return. And if they, you know, if they do buy something off you, awesome. But you're building up a legacy. That's how I look at it.
Well, it's kind of a thing. So I just, from my perspective in like running, you know, a small gear group and like being a part of the communities and stuff, here's what I see when you like talk about like guys are like, well, just post your pedal up in the group, in these random gear groups. Watch what happens when the same guy just repetitively just posts his own stuff, just posts his own stuff, just posts his own stuff. And that's all he's really doing. He's trying to use that group as a commercial. What happens is, if you don't really irritate the admins and get kicked out, eventually you notice like your stuff gets no traction in that group. Right. It'll sink to the bottom, and right. no one will respond to it. You'll get a comment and a like here or there, and it'll just go bleh.
Right. In fact, I think you actually turn people off when you do that. A lot
you
like.
Do.
I see the same thing in different groups where someone's like, listen to my band's new song. And I get it. Like, you're proud of it. You love it. I get it. But there's no reason to post that four times a day in every group. You know what I mean? No. Like, you got to romance me first. We got to become friends, you know? Make me want to listen to it.
Well, that's just it. And where I was going with that is I've seen some guys kind of try to kind of make that early mistake where they're just basically spamming the group. And then all of a sudden they make a switch because they realize that's not doing anything, and they actually become a member, a legit member, and participate and engage and bring value through their ideas and their wisdom that they've developed, you know, through their experiences. And all of a sudden they post their stuff once in a while and actually people buy it.
Right.
Not only are they commenting on it, but they buy it. It's like, whoa, you actually became a basically valued member of the community, and now people want to support you.
Right.
You're not just annoying them. Right. And it's the same thing could be said across any of the platforms. If you got a YouTube, yes, you do want to post your stuff. You don't not want to post your stuff, of right. course. That's but you gotta give people a reason to tune into your channel, and you're only gonna get a handful of people that are really only want to see your stuff and nothing else.
Right, right. The vast majority of people that are watching different YouTube channels, I mean, they like seeing demos, but they don't want to see, you know, only your commercial. You know what I mean? So I like to think of YouTube channels almost like a TV station of old. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, if you're watching any cable station, it's not usually just one show. If you're watching ESPN, it's not just one show after, you know, the same thing all the time. It's all different kinds of topics that will appeal to other people, and people of type A, people of type B, and it's just, it has this bigger, more mass appeal, and I kind of look at YouTube needs to be sort of the same thing, in the same way that really, like, your Facebook posting needs to be the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. It drives me crazy seeing companies that use Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as a distribution platform. They make a video, and that's all they post on there. Hey, look, it's another video of my product. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's what value are you possibly bringing us to people, you know?
It's what I tell people. It's like you got to produce something that people that is helping somebody. And when we say helping a lot, you and I in our conversations, we say that a lot. And I don't mean that to mean like you mowed some guy's backyard or that like you changed his life, but like you provided some information or some entertainment to them in some way that made their day a little bit better.
Right.
Than it would have been without it.
And that looks different for everyone.
It does. I mean, it's just like people have asked, I know people have asked you why you do this, what we're doing right now. How many hours of audio have you put out? and me too, like together with you and then on my own. Like we've put out, I think at this point people could probably listen to us talk for like a month and a half straight and never hear anything else. It's like, why do you do that? It's like, well, yes, I'm not going to lie. I do want it to, like, help the business at the end of the day. Like, I do want that. But mostly, I just think that giving people something that provides them with some entertainment is, I think that's an important and cool thing to do. I don't know how else to put it, I guess. I feel like it's a good thing, and that's why we continue to do it, I guess.
Right. So if you're just starting out, that would be, there's going to be a bunch of different things you need to do. So we talked about YouTube. You need to provide good content, talk about things that you know about and things that other people want to hear about. So like if you're really good at cutting your toenails, you might not want to do a video on that on your gear channel.
Hey, there's a lot of dudes playing pedal demos with no socks or shoes on that could really benefit from a toenail cutting channel.
You bring up a good point. So maybe that is a sub niche that you could really go for. You know, for all you guys that really like demoing without shoes, here's how you manicure your feet and your toes. So it looks even better.
We got to get 60 Cycle to do a video about that. Not because he plays without shoes or toes, but he did the video about the best pedalboarding shoes.
I didn't see that. Ryan did that?
Oh, yeah, he did that like, I don't know, a year ago or something.
I missed that somehow.
It was totally a spoof, but it was funny.
I gotta look that up. Oh, man, he's right. Oh, so the best pedalboard demo shoes, huh?
No, best pedalboarding shoes, just for performance reasons. You know, you want optimum traction when you're on that pedal board, and you really want to get a good feel on the switch, and like there's all kinds of stuff.
So
it was great.
Gotta have good grip on the bottom of your shoes.
Yeah.
So
let's rewind this a little bit. So I can ask, I'll ask you, and then you can ask me, or however, because both of our answers will probably be a little bit different. Let's pretend that you know everything that you know about marketing and about pedal building, and you have all the knowledge that you currently have today, but you don't have a company somehow in some hypothetical or alternate reality.
Okay.
And you're going to start out. You've got your product. You dialed. Like everything in that regards is ready to go, and you're going to start a company. What's the first thing you're going to do from a marketing perspective?
Okay, so I will answer that, but first, it needs to be said, and I know that people hear the word marketing and it makes them, like, their skin crawl.
Oh, good point.
Bad marketing is what makes a person's skin crawl. Good marketing is actually advantageous and is actually something that you probably like and don't even know you like it, you know? Mm-hmm. Because people associate marketing a lot of times with like manipulation and lies. And really, like, that's not good marketing. Good marketing
is...
bad marketing. Good marketing is saying, you know, here's what I know. Here's how I can help you. And then if I can be of any service to you, please let me know. I'm here at your disposal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really simply put, that's way more effective marketing. And I think so many people hear the word marketing or the word business, and it's just like an instant turnoff. So, to get back to your question, you asked me, what would I do if I was starting a company from dead scratch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first thing you got to do is, I'm going to assume you have, let's say you have four different pedals. You've already created them. You're able to build them. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start a YouTube channel, and I'm going to put out 2 to 3 videos every week, not about my pedals necessarily, but about topics that people who would buy my pedals are interested in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Facebook, I'm kind of doing the same thing, but I know it's a little bit older demographic. So I'm going to talk about things that is entertaining and funny or informative, and try to reach kind of a little bit different audience that, you know, is more of a Facebook feed type of audience. So sometimes that's a silly video. Sometimes it's a good little story about something, or it's a, you know, here's 3 ways that I use an EQ pedal different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
mm-hmm.
that, sometimes this stuff crosses over to each platform too. Instagram is changing a lot, where Instagram right now seems to be a lot of memes, A lot of pedalboard pictures, guitar pictures, and amp pictures, and a lot of live stories.
Mm-hmm. Which is, it's cool. You just have to develop your own voice in that.
You do.
And the you are 100% right, because yesterday I was doing a bunch of stuff, and then I ended up eating a bunch of tacos, which is obviously a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to some Black Flag.
Black Flag? I didn't know you. Yeah. I didn't know you're a fan of Black Flag.
Oh, we've talked about this before.
Have we really?
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forget, man. I used to annihilate this week some in my youth. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was playing some Black Flag, and I was listening. And I was like, man, I'm like 14 right now. This is fantastic. And I remember that there's a picture, and it turns out it was photoshopped, which is a major bummer. Of John Goodman wearing a Black Flag t-shirt. And I posted that, and it's just going crazy on Instagram. So just to show, like, you don't know what's going to resonate with people sometimes.
Right.
Anyway,
and sometimes
random
when you, sometimes when
random
you think
sidebar.
Something's going to be great, it falls on its face.
Yeah. So you got to try things. But anyway, I didn't mean to distract, but you said no. Instagram's changing, and I was like, yes, this post is still going ballistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and what value are you providing? You're making people laugh. That's
yes,
it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Which is perfectly fine.
It's totally fine. And Instagram is more like wittiness, you know, quick witty thoughts. At least from what I can, that's what I see that works in our. Did I say Instagram? I meant Twitter. I'm sorry. Twitter is more like witty thoughts.
Yes.
You know, so it's not quite as like deep and content focused as like Instagram or Facebook or something like that.
Yes.
What else? So where do you start? You start by sleeping less and setting aside time to do quality posts on each platform every day. And just know that your job is now going to be, as much as building pedals is your job, now your job is also communicating with people. You're really kind of building a network of friends, of online friends. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to happen in a month. It's not going to happen in a year. It may happen in 3 or 4 years, maybe after. It takes a long time. It takes a long time. It's never quick. It's never super easy. Even if you throw $15,000 a month in magazine ads. You know, like, all right, let's just pump a bunch of advertising money into this thing right now. You may get a little spike at first, but you don't get longevity, you know, because you're not building that relationship. That takes time. So
the time is actually, now that I've been really thinking about this, and obviously we talk about this all the time, the time is actually one of the factors. It's not just... It doesn't just take time because it takes time, but it takes time to build a relationship with anybody.
Right.
It takes time for people to develop a relationship with your brand. And that's what people don't realize is like, that's what you're really doing. You're making people have a relationship with your brand from some regard or another. Now, I'm not talking about like the same way that people have a relationship with Adidas. Or Nike. That's a different thing.
Right. That totally
but
is different.
But on small business stuff, you're literally trying to connect with people on a fairly deep level. Like, I mean, there's a reason why I have like multiple amps from Benson.
Right.
Like we have a relationship, and I think his stuff is fantastic. And so he's my go-to guy.
And he's like, a super nice guy, too.
Yes. We have a relationship. You're kind of trying to build that with new people that you've never met before.
It's a lot like, we've said this before, it's a lot like the craft beer industry. You know, like your local brewery or your local winery. You go there and you get their stuff because you might like the taste, but you also like the vibe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you like the atmosphere. The people that make it seem like they give a crap, you know? And there's all that stuff that goes into it. It's not going to work very well for them if they just start spamming your Facebook feed with pictures of their beer and telling you how great it is.
No, that's why, like, look at some of the guys that are doing really good in that space. They're, like, doing, like, a lot of, like, funny videos, or they're talking about their process, or they're talking about, you know,
things that's appealing to the people that would buy their product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if you're a pedal builder, you're wanting to get in the business, you're trying to think, how do I get further into this? Just realize it's a marathon. It's going to take a while, and you're going to be broke for a while. You might want to keep your job for a while. And, and you know, when you get home from work, kiss the kids and the wife, grab a quick, you know, meal and your laptop and get to work until 2 a.m. and then get up at 6 the next day and start the whole thing over again. That's what it takes, man. That's just, it's too competitive. It's too fun of an industry. It's like the music business. There's so many people that want to build pedals, and there's only a limited amount of people who want to buy pedals. So it's not everyone's going to win. They're just not, you know. The cream rises to the top, as they say. But what is cream? It's whatever what you and I would call the market, but it's basically what the people that are willing to buy the pedals, what they think is great stuff. Those are the guys that are going to win.
It's what they think is great stuff, and they like the guy, because there's plenty of companies that make good products. People are like, yeah, but I heard that guy was a jerk. So
yeah,
I mean, that's how personal this industry is. Like, it's just like there are people who literally decide. It's kind of funny, and because Paul Reed Smith is like so. That's how he started back in the day, but he, like, obviously he has this huge company now, and he's kind of, obviously one of the most successful guys in the guitar gear industry. So don't take this as a slight in any way, shape, or form, Mr. Smith. But, like, when Ryan and I talked to him a couple years ago at NAMM, and I asked him what kind of pizza he liked, his response was, "You literally think that somebody's going to buy a guitar from me or not buy a guitar from me based on the type of pizza I like?" And I was like, "Duh, yeah." like one guy might decide, "What, you don't like anchovies? Well, I'm anchovy guitar guy number 55226. I can't be seen with the PRS." You know,
it's humanizing him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's and this is something that's really weird to me. I think I talked about this a couple episodes ago. When people come up to me and they act like I'm some sort of, I have some level of stardom from building pedals, and that still sounds weird to me. But I had an email the other day. Someone said, "I was standing next to you at NAMM and I was nervous about talking to you." And I'm thinking, never, like, please don't ever feel that way, because I make little electronic boxes. That's like, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm not Elon Musk. You know, like, I just make little toys for guitar players.
Well, and I don't know if maybe this is a, I don't know what this says about me, but you know, when I first kind of shoehorned my way into this weird business, I was a little bit starstruck in some regards, because it's like, oh, these are guys I've heard about for years. Like, I'm standing here eating tacos with Robert Keeley. Like, Brian Wampler emailed me the other day. I'm like, and then, like, the more you get into it, you're like, just dudes.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's dudes. I don't think I would have that feeling anymore. Maybe with a few of my favorite musicians, but
right.
I have a hard time imagining being any kind of starstruck anymore, because I've just realized that I everyone's a human being.
Yeah, I remember, I want to say 2003 or 4, somewhere near there. I remember, like, being on the gear page, and Robert Keeley replied back to something I said, and I was like, "Holy crap! Robert Keeley himself replied back to me." So I get that, and it's very cool to, like, as an end consumer, to have that connection with the builder. But I would say, I can't speak for everyone, but for everyone that I've talked to, they kind of feel the same way. I would never be nervous about approaching one of us, because we're just dudes. We really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're just normal guys, and we have problems in our lives just like you do, and struggles in our lives just like you do, and yeah, we get to have a little fun every now and then, but at the end of the day, we still have a business to run. Even, The pedal business, and this is going to be really helpful for you new guys starting a business. It doesn't look like what you think it does.
No.
At all. A lot of what I do is answer emails, talk on the phone, and stare at a computer screen 95% of the time. And then every now and then, I get to make some videos for fun. I get to talk on a podcast with Blake. And,
you know, that's the worst. That's the worst part of the whole thing.
I mean, there's some fun parts to it. Every now and then, I'll get to noodle on something, you know, if I'm testing out stuff. But if I just sat here and just played guitar all day, nothing would get done. You know, so I've got to look at spreadsheets a lot. You know, it's just part of it.
So, I mean, I will say this hasn't really been the case for me as much because I get the extremely awesome opportunity to try a bunch of stuff. And that's like part of what I do is try a bunch of stuff and, you know, create a little content here and there. So I will say I'm one of the few exceptions to the rule. But for the most part, when people get into it, especially on the builder level, they actually play guitar less. Almost across the board is what I've heard from you know, talking to various guys. They actually play less guitar than when they were just a player.
No, that's very much true. I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not that it's disappointing.
It's an unfortunate side effect.
Side effect of the success. The more successful you become, the less time you have to play. And I mean play in general. Not just guitar. The less time you have to spend at home chilling on the couch, you know, the less time you have to do all that stuff. Go to little Johnny's soccer game, you know, that everything you do is now like budgeted. You're like, okay, so I have from 11 to 12, I got to do this. From 12 to 12:30, I'm doing this. It's very regimented for the most part. Now, there's some holes in there, so sometimes, you know, you may have a half an hour where you don't have anything pressing you got to do, or maybe in a couple hours. But, you know, you also got, how many emails do I have? 5,107 unanswered emails that you're trying to whittle down in your inbox. Those things happen. So I would also say this. This is a good place to say, if you emailed me before and I didn't respond, it's not
really
intentional.
Sorry. Yeah.
please email me back if I don't answer within a day or two. Because more than likely, it comes in faster than I can answer it. I just can't keep up with it all. I try to really stay on top. Excuse me. I try to stay on top of it as much as I can, but when it comes in so fast, you just can't always do that. You know.
So that what you just said, based on like the not having time and like missing out on. Don't die on me, Brian. That would be so weird if that happened right now.
Sorry.
Like missing out on things and not, you know. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the case for you for, I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you work a lot, but that's part of why you shifted your business in the way that you did is so you could get some of that time back.
Yes. So I could focus more on what I like to do. You know, I wanted to focus more on the creative stuff. I wanted to focus more on working on new types of products. I mean, including guitar pedals and stuff outside of guitar pedals. I wanted to write some more books about guitar pedally stuff, rather. you know, and I wanted to, I just wanted to spend more time with the creative stuff and less time with talking to every retailer on the face of this earth about their order and the velocity and, you know, like all the data metric-y stuff that is no fun. So yeah, it has helped. But the downside is that when I was talking to my kids about this today, actually, I've been working so long. So long every day for so long years that it's really hard for me to just sit down on the couch and watch TV and just do nothing. It's I just get really antsy and I always feel like I need to be doing something. So I kind of took like a Gary Vaynerchuk approach, which is when I'm with my kids, I'm all in on the kids. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hanging out with them. I'm completely focused on them. And then when I'm at work, I'm completely focused on work. You know, I mean, like, the building could be burning down around me, and I'd be like, I think I smell something, but I got this to do first. But, you know, I mean, and that's different than, and I don't mean this to like slam anybody, but a lot of people, you know, they come home from work, they sit down, they might turn on the TV and the kids are running around, and they're not being like bad parents. That's not what I mean, but they're not focusing on the kids. And there's good and bad to that. Like, the kids do need some space, not to turn this into a parenting podcast. But with the limited amount of time, I have to allocate things. So I get my kids every other weekend. Well, my boy lives with me all the time now. But he's 17, so he doesn't. It's not cool hanging out with dad. But my daughter, I get every other weekend and on Thursdays. So every other weekend, you can't get me on the phone. It's not going to happen, you know?
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you, well, yeah, you know. You asked me today, can we do a podcast this morning? I said, nope, sorry, man. Not until I take her home.
Yep, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's that weekend. I can't, yeah. And that's the thing, though, like, people, you, and maybe this is part of your thing, like, I don't know what where we're going right now into psychology podcast. I don't know what it is. Maybe this is part of your thing. Like, I know that, like, because of how you do business, you're wanting to make people happy. And that's good. That's why you're at the level that you've been able to get to. But, like, I think that something maybe to just keep in the back of your mind is very few people that you have, there's some, but very, and I'm not one of them, but very few people that you have some sort of like business kind of relationship with, they don't expect it. Like, I don't ever expect you to be able to podcast the minute you text me, although honestly, it happens fairly consistently. So, I think maybe thinking about people do understand, most people understand that people have time limitations and things they need to do. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Yep. I think just thinking about like, cause I used to stress like, oh no, I can't do this thing for this guy right now that he needs done right away. And it's like, he knows that I have a wife and kids and that comes first, you know, type of thing. Like, and then I talk to people like, sorry, I didn't get back to you right away. I was busy doing whatever. Like, yeah, it's cool. As long as you do get back to him, you know, some people have the opposite problem. But basically what I'm saying is most people understand each other's time constraints, especially this day and age.
Generally so, yeah. I mean, I really, like, I am by nature kind of like a people-pleasing type of guy. So, you know, as I've gotten older, I've learned how to say no a lot better, where I would just say yes and then kind of grumble my way through everything that I right. didn't want to do. So I've learned to not do that as much, but you still, like, so here's an example of what I mean. There's still the occasional email that I just scratch my head thinking, I don't understand. So I had someone that said, can you tell me how to make modify the Boss SD1, how to modify the tone control into a mid-frequency control instead? And I'm like, okay, if I get time, I might do a video on it maybe, but that's pretty involved. That's not like a standard, like, replace these three capacitor type of thing.
No, that's a circuit rework.
That's a huge thing. Yeah. So, and then, like, so it was like sitting in my inbox to get to, you know, when I had more time, because the priority is helping customers. You know what I mean? Like, hey, mm-hmm. my switch went out. Can you help me replace my switch or whatever? Like, that guy's going to get answered before the guy that wants me to stop what I'm doing and make a video about Boss SD1 mods. Okay. But he got upset and he's like, you can't send me a schematic or anything. You're just going to leave it up in the air. I'm looking for tech support. You know? And I'm like,
well, then email Boss.
Well, I'm like, you know, I appreciate your interest, but I got to be real honest here. My business is Wampler Pedals. If, you know, if there's an easy way for me to do this for you quickly, I'd be glad to help. But this is a very involved mod. This, you know, you're going to have to change a bunch of parts. You're going to have to add a gyrator. Like, this is not an easy to give you an answer in 3 minutes type of thing. So your best bet is to take this to, like, one of the DIY forums and ask one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I just can't stop what I'm doing to answer every single request that really doesn't have anything to do with helping customers. You know what I mean? As much as I would like to, there's not time to do everything.
This is an interesting episode in the way it's transpired, because it kind of does show a interesting arc of things, right? Of how things start to where they can potentially end up. Where, you know, we're talking about, like, provide a bunch of value, like, do a bunch of content. And I do think you should do that. Respond to people. Be present. Be there, you know, in this sort of weird digital world we live right in. And now we've kind of come full circle back to the other side of it, where it's like, but you also got to know when to say no.
Right.
And that can be really challenging. So that's almost a whole nother kind of conversation in and of itself. It's like, at some point, you get overwhelmed, and you are, at the end of the day, one person, and you got to recognize your boundaries, and those are kind of different for everybody, and also realize that you can't, as much as you may want to, make everyone happy.
Right.
So that can be a pitfall that you fall into when you start, I mean...
And figuring out where that line is.
Yeah.
That, you know, yes. Deciding where that line is, that can be sticky, you know, and some people, as your business is growing... You're going to upset some people, not intentionally, hopefully, but some people can, you know, some people just may get upset with if you don't give them an answer quick enough, or if you don't answer in a way that they liked, or, I mean, there's different scenarios. But there's a lot of things like that as your business is growing that you're just going to have to figure it out. There's no book you can read, like, what to do when a customer asks an unreasonable request about Boss SD1 mods.
Right.
So, I don't know. I hope this episode, I know it's a little bit of a different one, but over the past week, I've seen all kinds of threads, and especially reading through the Earthquaker AMA stuff, where it seemed like a lot of DIYers are trying to figure out how to start their business. So I thought this would be a good episode to kind of point people to whenever I get those questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, and some people want real tactical, like, pull this lever, pull that lever, pull that lever. And that can be challenging because it's different for every brand.
Right.
You
right.
know?
It, like, to use Jamie's, you know, marketing tactic, quote unquote, if he tried to do what I do, it wouldn't be authentic and it would just look weird. And vice versa. If I tried to do what they do, it wouldn't be authentic and I would just look weird. More weird mm-hmm. than I do now. So you have to kind of present things in a way that feels true to you and yourself. And that's branding. You know what I mean? That's what the business world would call branding. But really, it's just putting out to the world who you are. I call it your story, but it really is what makes you an interesting company or an interesting person. And by interesting, I mean, you know, what are you doing to make the world a little bit better? That's mm-hmm. how I look at it.
Well, and that gives me... I forgot there was one thing that I didn't get to finish a thought on, and it's sort of a tactical thing, but I think it applies across the board, and then I'll shut up because, you know, we've been talking for a while. But I think, like, the first thing that I would do, and also not expect any sort of return on time at all with this, but I would look at if you're into the guitar business to such a degree that you are building stuff and you think you have a product that's worth, you know, the market's consideration, you're probably a member of several online forums, potentially. Facebook, whatever, could be the gear page, could be whatever. I would just make sure that you're giving more than you're asking on those places. Like, when a guy says, you know, maybe you make pedals, but you, like, you have an opinion on a Les Paul, just respond in there.
Right.
About, it has nothing to do with it. Like, add value to the community, go in there and just, like, be a member. And maybe you're already doing it. But if you're not, go join some of these things and just be a legit member of the community without spamming them with your stuff. And then after a while, if you've helped people out of with enough of your opinions or enough of your facts and theories that you developed through your life, and then you have something they may like, you can say, hey, here's a thing that I made. If you guys like it, here it is. That's a great jumping off point.
Right.
Is just you helped who knows how many hundred people figure out their signal flow problems, and now you've got a fuzz pedal that they'll probably like.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's just one example, but I've seen it done a handful of times really well, and in a way that just benefited everybody involved.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. That just be a real part of that community, and stop spamming, please stop
spamming. No one cares. No one cares. I'm looking at a couple of you in my Facebook group right now.
And you, you.
You know who you are. You know who you are. Stop it.
All right. Well, that's a good place to wrap up for this week.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to play my Rickenbacker some more, and then I'm going to go in the house.
All right. Well, you go play your Rickenbacker. I think, I don't know. I think I'm going to try to get some sleep.
That's a good plan. I think that you should have done that instead of casting, but that's okay. I'm sure everyone's really glad that you did.
No, that's all right. We got to put the podcast out. Gots to.
The podcast must go on.
All right. Until next week.
Later.
And thanks so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments, questions, or just generally want to talk, you can always email me at podcast@womplerpedals.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.